We're going to go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, which our corner verse for this study is
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, but it's 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Thanksgiving was once said, Thanksgiving is thanks living. Remember that? And if you don't, now you do, right? Thanksgiving is thanks living. Our goal is and should be to keep ourselves thankful to God, our Father, always in all things. And you know, I'm not thankful when I bang my car, but I'm still thankful to God. I'm thankful to God that He can help me out of a bad situation that I got myself into, probably. I'm not thankful when I get sick, but I'm thankful that God does His best to heal me. I'm not thankful if somebody tries to rob me, but I'm thankful that God will protect me, and if I lose something, He'll, you know, take care of me in some way to bless me back. I'm just thankful to God. That's really what it's all about, is being thankful to God. It's not nothing to do with circumstances or situations or the state of your life. It's about what God has done and continues to do and will do throughout all eternity for us. So we finished up last week and we looked at two passages, one in Colossians chapter 2 and another in Philippians chapter 4. And I'd like you to go back to Colossians chapter 2. There are four different places in Colossians where it talks about us being thankful. I thought another thing too, you know, we're coming up to Thanksgiving. One of the reasons I started teaching this was because it's Thanksgiving time. And everybody knows the story of Thanksgiving, which we don't know if it's very true or not, but it's a nice story, right? But, you know, I think we still have it on our wall, don't we? We have a Thanksgiving proclamation by George Washington when he first became president, and it's, you know, being thankful to God Almighty for what we have. And that's cool. If you go back into the Old Testament, there were feast days, right? Special feast days and holy days, Passover, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Tabernacles. And part of those times, why they were called feasts, was because they would be commanded to eat together and be thankful and enjoy God's abundance and what He had done for them. You know, Passover was a time to remember how they got brought out of bondage and brought into the Promised Land. And it's pretty cool. If you've ever been to a Passover meal, a Seder, one of the things they do is the oldest male child in the room will read some sections out of Deuteronomy and remind to remind the people of what God did for Israel. And they do that even today, which is really cool when you think about it. But we can do that every day. This is the day the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. So in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." And we received Him by believing. And so we are to walk in the believing of Jesus Christ, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Established is what we would say today, established, right? It's just 16th century English. And established in the faith, or the right way of believing, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Established is in the correct way of believing. And it means, the word established means to be set fast or fixed or confirmed. And when we do this, we will abound in believing. See, you could believe and see some results, right? You could believe God's word, but you could believe and not be thankful. But when you believe and are thankful, you will abound. Just the way it is, you know. You can do all the things the word says and still not be thankful. You know, I'm going to do that. That's religion, really. I do this day, and I do this day, and I do that, and I'm perfect. It's very Pharisaical in a way. You know, the Pharisees did everything perfectly except what? Believe. And they were very unthankful. Okay, let's go to Colossians chapter 1, which is probably right there. And this is a prayer for the saints. And we're going to read it, and it talks about being thankful. It says in verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to declare that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." So Paul is writing to these people, which was intended to be read to all churches. And Paul is saying, you know, that we pray. We don't cease to pray for you. And we desire that ye might be filled to capacity. Pleirao. It means, it's a Greek word, it means filled to the brim. Filled to the brim with knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Well, one of the things we saw in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 was that we are to be thankful in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus, right? So here the prayer is that we are filled with knowledge and understand the will of God. "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness." That's a pretty cool prayer for people, isn't it? That we would walk worthy unto all pleasing, fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Patience is, you know, patience, right? You know, you wait for things. You're not over anxious. And long suffering is endurance. You know, hanging in there, not quitting. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." So it's kind of cool. Verse 1, it says, "For this cause," for this reason. And then verse 10 says, "that ye might," and the word "that" you could translate as a result or so that. So it's so that, or that the result might be, you know, that, you know, you're filled with knowledge and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that the result will be that you walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And we all want to be pleasing, don't we? "Being fruitful in every good work." That's another result. "Increasing in the knowledge of God." Strengthens. And that word "that" in chapter or verse 10 would carry on to verse 11 and verse 12. "So that you are strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Giving thanks," so that you give thanks unto the Father, "which hath made us meet," or adequate, "to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." What a great thing, mm-hmm. You know? And because that's God's will for us, that's the prayer for us, we should be thankful. We should be thankful. What a great thing. Let's go to chapter 3 of Colossians. What a cool prayer, though. Think about that. Go back and read that again and think about that's God's prayer for us. You know, that's what we should aspire to see in our lives. Chapter 3, verse 12, it says that we are to put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. Okay, the word "put on" there in verse 12 is the word that could be translated "clothe yourselves." Now, you can't clothe yourself with bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Can't clothe your human body with that, right? Your physical body. So what's it talking about? It's a figure of speech, right? It's talking about your mind. It's clothing your mind with those things, putting on in your mind. If we really understood the greatness and the incredible ability that God gave our minds.
Yeah.
I remember being taught that we only use about 10% of our minds. That's kind of crazy when you think about it. Kind of crazy. And yet, if you think about the incredible ability of the mind, and what it can calculate and what it can do, and you think, well, I'm not good at math, I can't calculate, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. But think about when you just drive your car. You know, you have to judge distances, and you have to time things, and you have to be, you know, taking all this information so that you do what you're supposed to do. And that's pretty incredible when you think about it. Any kind of physical skill that you learn in life, you have to do those things, and your brain is working and calculating and figuring it out. And yet we only use 10%, approximately. I don't know how they measure that, but... But whatever. So it says, forbearing one another. You know, putting up with one another. Forbearing one another. Forgiving one another. That's an important thing. We're to forgive one another. You know, there may be some believers that tick me off at times. But I'm still thankful for their lives. I'm thankful that they're born again. I'm thankful that they are going to be in the gathering together. And they're going to be there with us forever. And, you know, of course, when we all get there, nobody's going to tick anybody off because we're going to be too busy being, wow. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Well, Christ forgave us for what?
Everything.
Everything. Past, present, and future. So why should we have a problem forgiving somebody? Now, you know, somebody's mean or nasty or rotten and stinky, and you forgive them, and that doesn't mean they're going to change. But, you know, you forgive them, you do your best and move on, and then it's on them. That's all. And you just stay blessed. Because if you don't forgive them and you're bitter or you hold on to it or whatever, that doesn't help you at all. It holds you back. Then it says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Charity is love or the love of God, and the bond is the glue, or it's actually the Greek word for ligament. You know, ligament, you know. When I had my knee done, when I had it replaced, the reason I had it replaced was because I had no ligaments left to hold the knee in place, and so the bones just rubbed together and caused pain, right? That's what happens. Okay, so you get for playing football. So, and then it says, let the peace of God, so it's the bond of perfectness, it's the ligament, it's the glue, it's a cement that holds it together. Then it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. You know, and it's hooked into these things, you know, it's into being forbearing and forgiving and loving and peace. Again, peace, you know, the peace of God. My phone's ringing in my ear. Wow. Okay. I have my ear hearing aids in, so the ringing goes right into my ears. It doesn't go on the speaker. Sorry. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And the word Lord there should be God. Mm-hmm. Singing with grace in your hearts to God. And you know, the word admonishing there is an interesting word. It's the word in Greek, nutheteo. And it means to put to mind, remind one another. That's what it means, nutheteo. We're to put each other in mind of these things. So now, you know, when you're with a brother or sister in Christ and they're upset over something, it's a good thing to remind them, well, okay, but let's be thankful to God. Let's be thankful to God and move forward. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4. The last usage of being thankful in Colossians. They must have had a need to be thankful, because it's used four times. Verse 1, it says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch the same with thanksgiving. Withal, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, which I also am in bonds." So, you know, here he's speaking to these men that were masters, but, you know, he's speaking to all of us. And, you know, we all have a master in heaven. Jesus Christ is our Lord, right? Mm-hmm. That's what it means when you confess Jesus as Lord. It means you made him your master. Mm-hmm. He's our big brother, but he's also our master. And so we're to be thankful. Praying continuously, or continuing in prayer, and watch the same with thanksgiving. And the word watch there is to be vigilant. Be vigilant. Then we also were at Philippians the last time, and we finished off there. And let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. You know, sometimes we take things for granted. Not me, but everybody. You know, but we all do. It's just human nature, right? We just take things, we get used to something, and we take it for granted. And we should never take God for granted. We should never take Jesus Christ for granted. And so sometimes we have to work at being thankful, don't we? Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, we get hit with a couple of negative things, and we go, and start cursing in your mind, if not out loud, using distasteful language, whatever. Not Millie. She never does that. But the rest of us. But we have to work at being thankful sometimes. We have to remind ourselves. We have to remind each other. You know, it's a big deal to God that we are thankful. Chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing," or "be anxious for nothing," or "be distracted by anything. But in everything," everything, how much is everything?
Everything.
Everything, all things. "By prayer and supplication," which supplication means specific requests, petitions, "with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We're thankful. Pretty simple. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 17, we're going to begin. It says in verse 17, "Wherefore be ye not unwise." If you're unwise, what are you? Foolish. Silly. Dopey. Got any other good synonyms? "Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So again, we see the will of the Lord. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. "Wherefore be not unwise, Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the will of the Lord. That is the will of the Lord. It's not hard to understand. You can't mistake it. You can't misunderstand it. Be not unwise, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. It doesn't say you can't have a drink. It says be not drunk. Drunk is what? Tipsy. Getting a buzz. Losing control of your mind to some extent. The drunker you get, the more you lose control. So it says, be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always, always, not sometimes, not once in a while, not most of the time, but always. For all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I can't say that I'm 100% thankful always, all the time for all things, but that should be my goal, right? That should be what I want to do. That should be what I remind myself to do. That's my wife's job to remind me. My job to remind her. Being thankful is God's will for us and is really a great place to be in your head. It's, you know, I don't care what therapists say. I don't care what psychiatrists say or psychologists or witch doctors. Being thankful is one of the best things you can do for your brain. Be thankful. Let's go to Nehemiah. What the hey? It's before Job. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. So it's before Esther. Also, we're going to go to chapter 12. Chapter 12 of Nehemiah. I know you're all very conversant and familiar with this book, but just in case you're not, I'll give you a little background. Nehemiah was the cupbearer for Artaxerxes, the emperor of the Persian Empire. And that was a very important job because it meant that he was very trustworthy. And when they brought wine in for the king, he would drink it first to make sure it was not poisoned. And he would taste the food to make sure it was not poisoned. So he was in the presence of the king all the time. And one day the king said to him, Nehemiah, you look really sad. And he said, well, you know, I'm an Israelite and my country is being destroyed, or it's been destroyed, and the walls of the city of Jerusalem are torn down in the temple, and there's no government there, there's just chaos. And previously God had sent Ezra there with some people, some of the remnant of Israel, to start to get things straight. Ezra was a scribe, and so a number of years later, this, you know, Nehemiah says, well, I would really like to go back if I could. And Artaxerxes says, okay, I'll let you go back. He says, by the way, I'm going back, so could you give me some letters of passage so as I go through these lands to get to Israel that nobody bothers me? It's, you know, you're the emperor and everybody's under your control. And he said, also, could I get some wood from the royal forest to rebuild the gates and the city and all this stuff? And the king said, yeah, pretty cool, huh? So he goes back to Jerusalem from Babylon with a large group of Israelites, which basically were Judeans and Benjaminites. And he went to rebuild the walls of the city and set in order the civil government. And he gets there, and Ezra the scribe is there, and they get the people together. And when they're building the wall, they get threatened by these, you know, adversaries who don't want them to rebuild the wall and don't want them to set up a government again because they're making money off this, or, you know, it's to their advantage. And they threaten them, and Ezra and Nehemiah say, no, we're going to stick fast to it. And they do, and they get the wall rebuilt. And so when they do that in chapter 12, they are going to dedicate the wall, you know, have a time where they get together. Previous to this, in chapter 11, they got all the people together so Ezra could read the scriptures to them. And as they read the scriptures to them, the people started crying. And, you know, they got upset because they realized what jerks they had been. So the Levites comfort them and say, no, no, this is a time for rejoicing, because now you've heard the word of God. Now you can do what's right. So they do that, and then they set a time, and they're going to have the dedication of the wall. And we're going to go to verse 27. We're not going to read it all, obviously. We're just going to read pieces of it. Verse 27, it says, and at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing and with cymbals and psalteries and with harps. So they got all these guys. Now, you know, there were Levites, this whole tribe of Levites, and there was the priestly line, but then the priest that actually did the sacrifice and stuff was the line of Aaron. But the Levites had all different, you know, things. Some of them were in charge of keeping the animals for the sacrifices. Some were in charge of cleaning up the temple. Some were in charge of singing and music. And some were, you know, they had all different things. But they were all supposed to be priestly, right? They were supposed to be in the priestly line. They were supposed to be able to teach the word and help people with the word and so on. So they came, and the sons of the singers gathered themselves together both out of the plain country around about Jerusalem and from the villages of Netophathi, and all from the house of Gilgal and out of the fields of Geba and Asma, whatever it is, for the singers builded themselves villages round about Jerusalem. So they came from all over to sing and praise God and be thankful. And the priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people and the gates of the wall and the wall. And then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall and appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks, whereof one went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate. Doesn't sound like a good place, but whatever. Okay, now we're going to jump down to verse 38, because the rest of the stuff in there is just different things about things. We'll start in verse 37. And at the fountain gate, which was over against them, they went up by the stairs of the city of David at the going up of the wall above the house of David, even into the water gate eastward. And the other company of them that gave thanks went over against them, and I after them, and half of the people upon the wall from beyond the tower of the furnace, even unto the broad wall. So one group went one way, one group went the other way to go up on the walls to give thanks. Pretty interesting, huh? And from above the gate of Ephraim, and above the old gate, and above the fish gate, the tower of Hananiel, and the tower of Meha, even the sheep gate, and they stood still in the prison gate. So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I and the half of the rulers with me. So they gave a lot of thanks here. And, you know, that's what it was all about. You know, God allowed them to come back to their homeland and to rebuild the walls of the city, which was a big deal in those days. So then we get down to verse 43, and it says, and also that they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, speaking of these people who had sang and praised God. So it says, all day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them to rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. And at the same time were some appointed, even over the chambers for the treasures of for the offerings, for the first fruits, and for the tithes, to gather into them out of the fields of the cities the portions of the law for the priests and the Levites. For Judah rejoiced for the priests and for the Levites that waited. And both the singers and the porters kept the ward of their God and the ward of the purification according to the commandment of David and Solomon his son. And in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. So these whole guys, that's all they did. They were in charge of singing and praising and thanking God. It's kind of cool. I bet they sounded really great. And all Israel in the days of Zerubbabel and in the days of Nehemiah gave portions of the singers and the porters every day his portion, and they sanctified holy things unto the Levites, and the Levites sanctified themselves unto the children of Aaron. And so this is what they did. They gave thanks. There was great joy and singing and praises of God because God had brought them into Israel, back to Israel, back to Jerusalem against incredible odds. You know, if you go back and read Ezra and Nehemiah, they didn't just, you know, pick up and catch a bus and get some semis and load the wood and show up at Jerusalem in 2 days. You know, it was months and months of traveling across land with camels and donkeys and, you know, people. And they prayed for safety because even though they had those letters of passage, there were still, you know, bad guys. And they prayed for safety, and they had safe passage all the way there. They were untouched, and they were carrying gold and jewels and valuables and all kinds of stuff. So God brought them against incredible odds and great danger, and they were able to rebuild the walls and establish the city. So, you know, you think about that and how thankful they were. Well, think about how much God has done for us. What has he given us? He gave them the promised land. He gave us eternal life, ever with the Lord, whether it be in heaven or heaven on earth, paradise, right? Whatever it is, we're going to have it forever. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 14, it says, now thanks be unto God, which always, always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. God always causes us to triumph. You know, this is Paul speaking, but God is no respecter of persons, is he? What he would do for him, he'll do for us. That's how simple God is. He doesn't favor one person over another. What he'll do for one person, he'll do for another person. He wants to do his best for each and every one of us, and it's just up to us to believe and be thankful. There's another place where it says that no matter what situation we get into, I didn't look this up, but he always gives us a way to escape. Right? He always gives us a way out. When we get in trouble, there's always a way out. You know? You know, it may take us a while to find it, but it's there. He always, always, always gives us a way out. And let's go to 1 Corinthians, which back a page or two to chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. And verse 57, it says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us the victory. You know, we may lose a few battles and win a few battles along the way, but we won the war. You know, we have the victory in Christ Jesus. In the end, I don't care if you led the worst life of anybody in history. And there's lots of people that think they have. You know, some people just think, oh, nobody's had a worse life than me, or nobody's had to suffer through more than me. But, you know, I don't know that there's always somebody that's worse off, right? There's always somebody worse off than you. But it says, thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through Christ Jesus, you know, our Lord Jesus Christ. Because no matter what, you still have eternal life. You're still gathered. You're still going to get a new body. You're still going to ever be with the Lord. And it goes on to say, therefore, because you have this victory, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And, you know, again, that's another reason just to be thankful. You know, we just keep moving ahead. We just keep doing the will of the Lord. We just keep doing our best for God and for each other. And stay thankful. It's just one of the greatest things you can do for yourself and do for others. You know, just there's no better tonic than thanksgiving. So, amen and amen. Father God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us, for how much you do for us continuously, even as we heard in the manifestations today. We really didn't even have to go through this teaching. They were so great. But we just thank you for your word, and we thank you that it's so very, absolutely crystal clear that your will for us is to be thankful. And we just ask God that you show us and teach us and help us and remind us that we can be as thankful as we can be, as much as we can be thankful, and in every situation and every circumstance. So we thank you for that, God. We thank you for what a great and loving God you are to each and every one of us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.